Yo, all right, man, it's Saturday. Hey, I'm going to be 50 pretty soon. So, you know, all y'all that follow me on social media, make sure you, you know, wish me that meaningful happy birthday that comes by way of social media. The big 5-0. Yeah, man. Coming in hot. Fuck, on that note, I've about had it. I think I've reached, I don't know, man. I got a lot to discuss today, right? Let's get it all out there. Let's start with the positive stuff, shall we? Because, you know, God forbid I do anything else. So I don't know. I can't remember in the last one if I mentioned that I got this, a couple of new plugins, and I had an epiphany the other day to one of them. So I've been using these plugins from a company named Kive Audio. That's K-I-I-V-E Audio. And, you know, disclaimer, I'm not sponsored by any of these guys. I just buy their stuff and use it, and it's pretty damn good. So I think I had a couple of freebies as well, but I'm pretty sure I own everything except one or two at this point. Anyway, what I wanted to talk about was this plugin called the Warmy EP1A Tube EQ. And it's so funny because I've been using this for a while and I really dig it. And then all of a sudden I came across some videos that were talking about the Pultec EQs. And I have a few of those too, from Waves and from Softube. So until recently, I don't know why. Like I was looking at this image because I shared it with a group of people that I kind of roll with on social media, on Instagram. We have like a private chat group of a bunch of producers and stuff. But anyway, I'm a huge fan of the Pultec EQs. I mean, all the hype about those things is for real. If you don't have one, go get one. And that's why I'm talking to you about this, because the Warmy EP1A Tube EQ from Kive Audio at kiveaudio.com is, in fact, and I don't know how I missed this, or I don't know, it's an actual emulation. It's a clone of the Pultec EQs. So I don't know how I missed it. I guess because they put kind of like a bottom layer, like, you know, in the GUI, there's a bottom strip that has some settings and, you know, controls and stuff that are not on the original, you know, so it's not an exact emulation, but this EQ is amazing. And now I know why, because I'm like, I've always loved it. I'm like, why is this thing free? And why is it so amazing? I love this. I put it on everything. And that's why, because it's basically the Pultec EQ. So go get this thing, man. It's been free for a long time. It's free now. It's a great EQ. I've been using that a ton, as well as the actual Pultec clones as well, that are, you know, modeled and licensed directly, saying they're from TubeTech or Pultec. Okay, got another one, and I'm actually going to try it on this podcast. I've already raved about the SSL, the Solid State Logic plugins that are out there. They're super expensive, but sometimes they run these crazy deals. So this $199 plugin, the SSL Native Vocal Strip 2, is right now $20. So do yourself a favor, go get this thing. I mean, even if you don't really use it, I don't really do much vocal work other than this. It's all horn stuff for me. So I'm going to try it on that. But I mean, for $20, every plugin that I've got from them is ridiculous. They're so well done. They sound amazing. They're actually worth having. So yeah, I mean, $20, go grab that one. I picked that up the other day as well. And it's, I don't know, I'll use it today and see what I think. And then this final one, I love TikTok. So I've changed my TikTok up again and got rid of all the crap that I was following. Because the only downside about TikTok is that once you go down a rabbit hole, it's pretty hard to get that algorithm to point you in a different direction. But anyway, so I have a new account now. And what I've found on there, I've started following music stuff. So I get a lot of music updates in my timeline, in my feed. And someone was talking about this plugin from Slate Digital called Fresh Air. Give your mix some fresh air from slatedigital.com. Anyway, I'm pretty sure this is free. I don't think I paid for it. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's free. It doesn't say on their site that it's free. It says you can try it for free, but I'm pretty sure it's free. You probably just have to give up create an account or something. But man, do it, because this thing kicks on the frickin' master bus on your final out. Your stereo out. This thing is wonderful. I can't believe the difference. I was shocked. It really is. So I'm kind of looking more into Slate plugins. I, I've never really considered them. They have kind of a weird, they're a subscription model too. And I don't know, I have so much shit at this point. It's like ridiculous. But this one is definitely worth having. So go check out the Fresh Air plugin from Slate Digital. That's a really good one. Okay, enough of that crap. Let's get into something else. So a little bit of celebratory news for me. I've had a bit of luck the last month or so. So I've landed two songs on one of Spotify's, and it's an editorial, so I'm not discounting it, but it's a small one. It's only got like 40,000 listeners as opposed to 4 or 5 million. But nevertheless, I'm getting a little play there, a little love. And I'm also getting a little love, and I got to shout these guys out too, from Etymology Records. I hadn't heard of them before, but they're actually pretty big. And they have here's what I wanted to talk about. So everyone longs for the editorial playlist placements, and they're great. I'm not going to say they're not. You know, I've made, like I said before, like over 30 grand over a few years period of time, having a couple songs rolling on that big lo-fi beats playlist they have. But again, they have 4.5 million listeners on there. Again, I have two songs now on a much, much smaller one, which is cool. But what I wanted to explain, or what I wanted to share, was something that I wasn't really aware of. So this Etymology Records, you know, and little did I know, this is the guy that runs that record label is a close friend to one of the guys I deal with at the distributor that I use. So these guys behind the scenes, you know, my distributor, really great guy, Rod Lindman. He's a really awesome dude. Anyway, shout out to him. He hooked me up and asked the guy that runs Etymology Records, who also has a pretty nasty sized playlist out on Spotify, to if he would add one of my tracks. And the guy did. And interestingly enough, so again, this is just a curated user, you know, I mean, it qualifies as a user playlist. And I'm getting more plays by a factor of at least two than either of the songs on the Spotify editorial. So I guess my takeaway here is don't discount the fact that over time people might do some cool things for you, like I just explained, and hook it up like that. And, you know, that's a lot of what this business is all about. But it's not the end all be all to be on or not be on an editorial playlist. Now, I'm not discounting them. They're great, right? They pay you. They do all this stuff. They get you the streams. But I, like I said, I have two tracks that are on an editorial right now. And the combination of both of them is not equivalent to this one song that's on this Etymology Records playlist. So that's shocking to me. You know, I'm getting like thousands of listens from this non-editorial playlist. So don't discount that stuff, and don't discount who you might want to reach out to, because this guy is, you know, he's just a guy. He's not some untouchable unknown like at Spotify, where you can't, all you can do is submit to those playlists. You have no idea who the people are that curate them. Well, I don't. I mean, and it's not public knowledge. So if you know who they are, then, you know, I guess you're in the know, but the majority of us are not. So in that regard, it, you know, there's no way to reach out to those people to pitch your music other than through the mechanism that's provided on the platform itself. So aside from that, you know, this Etymology thing, and again, these are people that, you know, this guy's a huge artist as well, you know, out there on Spotify and Apple and everything else, but they're reachable people. I actually had a conversation with this guy a couple of years ago when I started with Dash Go, from Rod's direction. He's like, you know, reach out to this guy. Maybe you guys can work together, do some stuff. You know, it never panned out that we worked together, but nevertheless, I mean, it still was a good connection and a good avenue that, you know, I haven't really put a lot of effort into reaching out to playlists or to curators or to record label people, you know, like people like me that have their own boutique little vanity labels, that maybe they put themselves out and maybe a small handful of other artists, but are actually doing really well. Unlike, you know, like I don't sign any artists, because what am I going to do for you? I can't even do it for myself. It's pretty unlikely that I'm going to be able to do anything meaningful for another artist. So to me, it's kind of like, well, why would I do that? It's kind of like a slap in the face, in the sense that I, you know, somebody, some young kid in their 20s or so, or, you know, have all these aspirations. Oh, look, I'm going to get signed to this label. And, you know, this guy's going to do this, and he's got 25 million streams worldwide. It's like, yeah, man, I don't know how I'm doing any of that. And that's nothing. So I can't really bring anything to the table for anybody else. So in my mind, it just doesn't make sense to offer something like that, because it's bullshit. And I am, you know, if you've ever listened to this or, you know, followed me anywhere else, I am all about the truth. And that's probably my downfall, is that I'm not full of shit and I don't lie to people and I don't make shit up. I tell you exactly what it is. And, you know, quite frankly, that's not very popular. People don't want to hear the truth. They want to hear this story about how great it is and how you're going to grow to this thing. And, you know, for the reality of this is that most people will not ever reach those goals or those milestones, myself included. And I had to come to terms with that on my own, where it's like, well, am I going to hate what I'm doing every time I see somebody else get landing on a playlist or somebody else get an opportunity that I feel I deserve, or think my music is shit because people don't hear it and don't discover it and I don't have followers and my social media hasn't blown up? You know, I mean, if you tie all that stuff together, then yeah, you're going to be fucking miserable. And not to say that I'm not miserable anyway, because I am, and I have a lot of other things in my personal life that have nothing to do with music. In fact, if you can believe it, music is the highlight of my life. So all this complaining and whining that I do, if, you know, imagine how bad it really is if that's the good stuff. But anyway, you know, I think it's important to remember that, don't tie all this stuff together. Remember why you're doing music and enjoy what you're doing for what it is. So that's kind of where I'm at in my headspace now, is that I put stuff out. I'm enjoying the creative process. I like what I'm doing. I'm trying to be more creative and push boundaries a little bit, not be so concerned about, well, this is going to fit on this playlist or will people like that. I just don't care. Because what I'm doing is me, and what I'm really searching for are people that dig what, you know, me, dig what I'm doing, not the fact that I can do the same shit that everybody else is doing. So I think with that, it's going to take a way longer time for me to grow and become anything, because I am doing something that's kind of original and unique in a space that's, you know, like any other genre, there's a lot of copycats of, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, a Billie Eilish song is crap compared to a, you know, a Madonna song or some other relevant pop artist. You know, they're all fine songs. I don't mean it that way. I just mean that they're all cookie cutter. It's the same crap. So I really don't want to do that. And the fact that I play a lot of instruments and have a different approach to doing this, perhaps, than a lot of people, you know, and I'm not saying at all that I'm, you know, there's no other horn players or anything, but there sure as hell aren't a lot of them that are doing this kind of music. You know, I've heard a handful, maybe. So it's a small field out there, and it's a weird space because you're not really taken seriously in jazz, because you're not really doing hardcore jazz, and you're not really being taken for what your talent is in the lo-fi space, because nobody gives a shit if you're actually playing the thing or not, because it's kind of a sample-oriented, sample-based genre, at least in its most pure form. It's just hip hop instrumental. That's pretty much what it is. So, you know, I'm trying to add my own flavor to everything and do my own things. And it's really taken me down more of an R&B funk kind of soul music path, I guess. And then I add my own little things here and there. But, you know, I guess my point is, don't overlook some of the things that are pretty much staring you right in the face and that are obvious, just trying to get in on the things that actually happen, naturally, once you get some momentum going, you know. And I'll be honest, I think here's my thoughts on the two placements on the editorials. Interestingly enough, all these songs are coming off the same album, so they're going to be they're similar in style. You know, the tone of the whole thing. All these 10 songs sound kind of, you know, cohesive. It's an album. That's how I created it, right? Even though I release everything as a single first and then the final album collection at the end, it's all one kind of like frame of mind. I write a whole bunch of songs at once and go, okay, here, these 10 will be an album. And then I'll just start releasing single after single until I get to the last one. Then I release the whole album. But the point is, so what I noticed is that I put out 4 songs and every other one made it onto a Spotify playlist. And then the one is on the Etymology. So one did nothing, then one went on Spotify, then one went on Etymology, then one went on Spotify. And the two that are on Spotify, I noticed, other than, like I said, they're similar genre, you know, they sound similar. They have very similar artwork, not in what it looks like, in the sense that it's two completely different pictures of art, but the style of artwork, I don't know how to really explain this. It's kind of like animated, but not cartoon animated looking representations of like So they like the one, it's kind of like faded pastel-y colors. And one is like two yin and yang looking fish. But again, they're kind of like they're cartoon affected, but they're not like Family Guy looking cartoon. They kind of look like, it's hard, like digital art, I guess. It's hard to describe. You'd have to go and actually take a look at what one of these things looks like to be able to really tell. And then the second one, Blossom, the single that's out right now, is a very similar. It's like these pastel-y colors, but again, it's the same kind of like digital art that I don't really know how to describe it other than that. And interestingly enough, I don't know that I've used these. Let me just scroll through real quick to see. Like most of my artwork, let's be honest, it's dog shit. It's terrible. The only stuff really that's any, like I like it, but the majority of the stuff that's good was from Tsunami Sounds, because they have a real artist that does this. I'm just putting crap together myself, and you can tell that it's kind of lacking. But if I look back, yeah, I mean, I like a lot of the artwork that I put in, but you know, like I said, I'm an old guy. Maybe they're not genre speaking. So I guess, anyway, I'm rambling here. Sorry. My point is that these two particular releases have a very similar style of artwork. So interestingly, they both got picked up. So what I'm going to do is I have another single coming out, I think April, I don't know, let me look. April something or other. Hang on, upcoming. What do we got? April 12th, I have a song called Blue Button. And the artwork for Blue Button is, you guessed it, some buttons, and there's a pretty blue one in there. Yeah, I'm a fucking genius, people. You know this. Anyway, so this one does not follow what I'm just describing. So what I'm going to do is the next single that I release, that I have no idea which one that'll be. Let me go check. All right, it's a song called Matters. And then actually I have one more, and then this album's coming out. So anyway, side note, I mentioned that I turned my record label into a pro account over on SoundCloud. So if any of you are actual fans of the music, all this crap is out on SoundCloud long before it hits all this other stuff, because nobody really follows me on SoundCloud. So it doesn't matter if I get a few hundred plays on these songs. It's not going to matter when they come out on Apple and on Spotify and all these other streaming sites. It's like a different ecosystem. But since I can upload anything and everything now that's unlimited with the subscription that I have, you know, I got a whole nother album, and I'm working on a third album for this year that the first two albums are already out on Spotify. So knock yourself out and go check them out if you're interested in hearing where I'm going with things, or if you want to hear the cohesive kind of playlist order and stuff like that, because it's all set up the way I release it. It'll be exactly the same as it comes out on the major streaming platforms. So the next one is called Matters. So for Matters, I'm going to go and find a piece of artwork that matches these other two that I'm mentioning, and see if in fact that has anything to do with why. Because, you know, something that I often have overlooked in this particular genre, and I don't know that it's true everywhere, but maybe just here in lo-fi and this lo-fi hip-hop jazz-hop stuff, the aesthetic is kind of important to a lot of people. So it might matter that I actually have had shitty artwork on a lot of these things and they just skipped it. So not knowing the curation process, I have no idea. I mean, maybe that's what triggers them to go look at something when they get their list of like, okay, here's 1,000 songs that that the algorithm decided you should consider for a playlist. And of those 1,000, they're probably just scrolling their mouse wheel down. And when they see a piece of artwork that catches their eye, they stop on it and then listen to the song. And lo and behold, it's not a pile of shit. So they put it on their list. So I'm going to try that with this, you know, and of course, everything I'm saying now is total conjecture. I have speculation. I have no idea if this is true. So don't take any of this as actual fact. I have no idea. I just have one of those kinds of brains that can't sit still, and I have to think about this shit to figure out why the hell things are happening and what I can do to try to improve my odds, because I'm still unable to let go of the fact that, you know, at some point, maybe I can do this more realistically full time. And this is something that, you know, continues to pay me. But, you know, if I rewind that back, I'm not going to tell you where I work, because I have kind of a confidential position in technology these days, but I'm really happy with where I am. And I'm so terrified to say shit like that, because, you know, I don't know if I've said this before, but I've worked at like 20 places over the last 15 or so years. So I've bounced around a lot. And I mean, you know, in reality, that's not that odd for technology. So I'm a software developer, you know, an engineer. That's what I do for real life. And bouncing around, you know, it is what it is. People bounce around. It's not looked down upon in this industry the way it might be in others, right? So moving around is actually a positive thing because it shows that it moreover shows that you're viable and desirable rather than someone that's been in a place for 20 years and they've never been anywhere else. So they really have a very narrowly focused view into technology, whereas I've seen tons of stuff all over the place in different companies, global size, global scale, you know, diversity of culture, all this stuff. You know, I've been in startups, I've been in, you know, FANG companies, all that stuff. So it's looked upon favorably, I guess is my point, right? If I'm trying to make any kind of point here. But I'm really happy with where I'm at now. And quite frankly, and I, you know, my point is I don't want to jinx this, but I'd really like to stick with this company that I'm with today until I retire. You know, like I said, I'm 50. What do I got? Like 15 more years, maybe? I mean, and you know, at 50 bouncing around the way I have been, I don't know. That's not really that appealing anymore. Like I feel like I'm back home. Like I kind of left the Silicon Valley world for a while and that was a mistake. You know, hey, you make mistakes. What are you going to do? I spent a couple of years trying to pursue like leadership type positions. And that is, at least in the fields that I was working in, that is not for me at all. I don't like that. you know, the people I was working with, nothing against them, but it was just not a good fit. But I gave it the, you know, the good old college try, and now I'm back where I belong, you know, back in the trenches of technology, if you will. But yeah, my point is I don't want to go hopping around. So I guess what I'm getting at is that I have a really good setup right now. You know, I have a really good, legitimate career. You know, I'm not rich or anything like that, but you know, I don't really have to be too concerned about finances, which is cool. You know, we don't have like fancy houses and fancy cars, but we have, you know, new cars and all my kids will have cars and, you know, I pay for all that stuff. So it's really nice. And this pays for all my music stuff. And, you know, it gives me a lot of flexibility because I work remotely. So when I'm done at work, I don't have to drive home anymore. I'm just turn around and can start working on productions and things. So it's really nice. So I'm very fortunate, but you know, there's still that thing where it's like, man, it would be great if I could just get up every day and come down and write tunes every day and make shit tons of money doing that every day. And that's all I had to do. That would be, you know, ideal, but you know, maybe we're getting there. Cause like I said, I got a couple new placements here. So maybe, you know, this is the start of something decent for the, you know, the second half of 2022 here. And maybe it'll keep on going. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. But, I'm trying to be more positive, even though I'm super negative, and I apologize for that if it really drives you nuts, but I'm only who I am and I'm real. And sadly, a lot of people don't dig that, but what are you going to do? Hey man, I hear the music. I guess that's my cue, keeping these things to like 25 minutes or less. So with that note, I'm checking out and hey, thanks for listening. And hopefully I'll try to be better at being a little more consistent here. All right. Have a good rest of your weekend and I'll see you on the flip side.